Who enjoyed hearing Andrea last week talk about our Leap into Spring program in Liberia? Yeah, and you have the privilege, and it is a privilege having such a great women preachers that we do have in our church, and Andrea's preaching again next Sunday, so that'll be good. And I just give you a quick update, because I'm excited. I talked to Pastor Collie this week, who heads up our C3 Liberia pastors teams and the churches up there, and he said to me, "Nigel, you're a Liberian." I said, "What?" Because we couldn't be as white or as black as one of, you know, together we're kind of like the, it just wouldn't work. But you know, these guys, as Andrea mentioned, are on their way to getting their passports for the very first time to go to Ghana for our very first C3 Northwest Africa conference in October. And I just wanted to say this, that for the first time in their lives, because they lived in poverty and civil war, they've never really known when they've been born. We don't face that, do we? And so I am here to tell you this morning that because of our work and all the things that we are doing, they now have their very own, for the first time, birth certificates. How good is that? Now, I'm sure some of them have got 25th of December as their birthday, but hey, so good. You know, they've asked Pastor Collie to look after them. Can you please look after them? Because they don't want to lose. That's like, it's the most precious thing in their life right now. 10th of June, they should receive, all seven pastors should receive their passports from the Liberian government. Lord, we pray in the favour of God. We pray these passports, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do an incredible miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. There we go. Ephesians 2, who's been enjoying our book on Ephesians so far? So we have finished the first chapter of Ephesians. We're into the second chapter. And I thought I would read to you today from Ephesians 2 verse, well, not thought because it's the next verses, but Ephesians 2 verse 11 to 18. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And I'll explain this as we go along because some of the wording is a little bit, even in the New Living Translation, is a little bit old-fashioned. So if you're under 45, you're probably not going to get some of this. But here we go. Don't forget that you Gentiles, turn to your neighbour and say you're a Gentile, used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision. Whew. There's a word right there. Even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. Like I said before, Paul's not messing about, is he? In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you did not know the promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you belong to Jesus Christ. Though you once were far away from God, now you have been brought near to him because of the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He has brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him and to us Jews who were near. Now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because what of Christ has done for us. It's a lengthy passage, I know, and I'm going to do my best to get through it relatively quickly this morning. Ephesians is a book primarily about the church. Who's glad that they came to church today? Anybody? A few of you. Today we are going to look at what the heart of the church looked like to Paul and how God sees his church. Outside the church, people could never get along. Inside the church, they get along. They get along. Inside the church, we what? We get along. We get along. Whew. Really? Okay, here's the problem. Before we go there, let's give it my title, Live as a New Kind of Human Being. Live as a new kind of human being. The problem. God has addressed one of the main problems the human race has ever had. What is that problem? Well, in the time of the ancients, the Jews thought that they had worked life out. They had the law. They thought themselves as morally upright. And that their race was superior. The law brought a barrier, a wall between Jews and everybody else. Because if you're a Gentile, you're everybody else. So, everyone else, because we're either Jew or a Gentile, either Christian or not, thought the Jews, excuse my language for a moment, were totally up themselves. Who do they think they are anyway? I will never be like them with all their rules and regulations. In the Old Testament, the Jewish temple had a middle wall which parted Jews from Gentiles. This wall was a balustrade of stone which separated the court of the Gentiles from the holy place. This is Old Testament. If a Gentile did try to pass, it was generally to their death. The point is, God gives each of us good gifts and talents peculiar to who you are and race and culture. The problem is we believe we have one up on the other. I am better than them. What gives you and I our identity is what is distinct about us. They're good things. God gives us those things. I'm not saying that they're wrong, that we have to change ourselves. No, God's made you who you are. Be blessed by who you are. Don't be anxious about who you are. Don't worry that you're going to offend someone because your identity, as we know God, is in. We're going to talk about that today. And so what gives you and I our identity is what is distinct about us. And so here's some things, just some general things about who we may be. I was brought up in a middle-class home. I'm talking of myself right now. It means something to me. I can't help that. It's who I am. It's how I was raised. Okay, but here's some just some general things. I'm university educated. I worked my way up the career ladder. I'm an excellent tradesperson. I always dress well. My car defines me. At least I've got style. I grew up in the country. I grew up overseas. Our identity is what is distinct about us. The problem, however, is that we can be quick to judge others. Because of who we are, we think other people are lesser. And if they are lesser, we look down on them, we exclude them. A wall goes up that separates us from them. Two examples from the Bible. Moses married, an Ethiopian woman in Numbers 12, verse 1. Moses was a white person. An Ethiopian woman was a black person. Miriam and Aaron, who were sister and brother of Moses, objected. And it appears that there was some contention that Moses no longer had the authority as the leader, because if he did, he wouldn't have married that woman. The Lord himself intervened in this matter, and for 7 days Miriam was a leper cast from the community as punishment for her sin. Heavy. There is no issue whatsoever in marrying a person from another country or race from a biblical perspective. Now, the reason will become clearer shortly. The second example is in the New Testament. There's probably more, but this is just a couple I picked out. This is Luke 18, verse 11. The proud Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. In other words, I'm not like other people. No one here has ever said that. So you are better than other people. You see, there was this man that was shipwrecked on a desert island. He was the only one there. He was stranded there for a whole year before his rescuers came and found him. And the rescuers asked him a question when they landed on this small desert island. And they noticed that he had erected two small churches, one on one side of the island and one on the other. And when they questioned the man, he said, this little church here is where I go to church, but why have you got the other one, they said. And he said, because that's the church where I know I will not go, because they're not like me. I'm going to stay away because I'm defined by this one. We all like to feel like we've got one up on the other, even when we're alone, it seems. The principle is this: there is something in the human heart that takes what is good about you and lifts it up so that you can feel superior to other people. We take these things and we moralize them. Now, I have officiated a number of African weddings. Africans, give me a little wave this morning. There's a few here. Zizi, thank you. Well, Charlie did that one. We've all done a number of weddings. So I'm just going to make some observations this morning. All the white people will be waiting before one black person arrives. The white people will say stuff like, why can't they ever be on time? They're so undisciplined. Why should they keep us waiting? You're all being very polite this morning. And all the black people on the other side, you know, why are you white people so uptight? Why are you so mechanical? Come on. I wish you could learn how to chillax. Is that true? No. Yes? Anthropologists will tell you that the cultures are either time-oriented or event-oriented. I'm English background. This will become clearer as I go along. So we're either time-oriented, I'm definitely time-oriented. I can't help myself. But then there's people that are timeless. Time doesn't really matter, that just the experience of life matters. It's not actually funny, it's true, it's a culture. But I know it is funny. That's what I'm trying to do here this morning, so that we get this. Are we getting this morning? So each culture will use its strength to look down on the other. Because Africans are event-oriented, I could say, you know, lots of other races as well, but because we identify here with our black people, and this will become clearer as I go along, and as I said, I'm Liberian. Just be clear. Because Africans are event-orientated, it wouldn't matter to them if I preached for an hour. Actually, it wouldn't matter if I preached for 2 hours. They'd be enjoying the service, and they would probably talk, they'd probably start getting up like a T.D. Jakes message, and come on, preach it, Pastor. They love, that's the way. Who enjoys the cultures in our church? Come on. And so, because Africans are, it doesn't matter. Right, we got that part. Now, hang on a minute. I better finish this, hadn't I? The rest of us, us Caucasian people, us white people, if I preach for an hour every week, I think I'd be getting emails by the dozen low. Why are you preaching so long all of a sudden, Pastor? What is wrong with you? Don't you know I've got stuff to do? Am I ruffling a few feathers this maybe? Anyway. Now, here's another interesting observation. Jesus lived in a culture which people did not wear watches on their wrists. Did not have clocks on every wall. Sometimes he responded immediately and went to people. And other times he delayed the response and withdrew to be alone. When Lazarus was dying, he stayed put and didn't go to him immediately. Here's my thought. Just maybe we should be God-oriented first. Just maybe we should be God-oriented first. Maybe through being God-oriented, the blacks could come on time because loving God and others is the most important thing. And maybe the whites could not be so upset when we go over time for a few minutes. Or we have a special event which takes up more time, or it may be that the Holy Spirit is moving in his house, but because ultimately it is about Jesus and not us, it's okay. So what's the solution? Good question. Ephesians 2:14, New King James, he has broken down the middle wall of separation. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. Jesus has torn down the wall. He gave us a solution. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being. A fresh start for everybody. One new man from two. Before Christ, there were divisions of all sorts: race, religion, class, sex. But the old order must pass away with the advent of Christ in our lives. You may be in a club. Just give me a wave if you're in a club of any sort. A few people. Any kind of club. I used to be in a surfing club. We would go to certain locations and we would surf together. Sometimes we'd have competitions together. We had a connection because we liked the similar interest. We liked to surf together. We shared our like of surfing. Maybe we had one or two other things in common, maybe not. But what Paul is talking about is much more profound thing. Australia is a shared race and culture. Paul Enhancer's not too happy about that. But anyway, the One Nation Party, and they're not biblical principles, by the way, just in case you're wondering. But as God's people, Christians, we are able to have a deeper and more extensive connection. So much so that when you become a Christian, yes, you are still an African. Yes, you are still a Filipino. Yes, you're still English or Australian. Yes, you still have a connection to your race. but you feel a greater connection and bond with other believers than those of the same race who don't share his connection. So what Paul is saying is that the church makes a new kind of human being. I am part of a new humanity, a new nation, and a new people. In Liberia, I am referred to as Zahu, which means keeper of the time. I told you I couldn't. It's one of the first things that Pastor Collie says to me when I arrive. Because I'm always asking, what time are we going to have the meeting? And you know what? It doesn't really matter what time I think the meeting's going to start. It's going to start when it's going to start. But it's another story. I'll get to it. See, they don't quite do church the same as us in Australia, do they, James? It is not uncommon for us to be at church well before the pastor, even though church is meant to have started. I could pick them up on a number of things that they do in church services because it's just, you know, I get frustrated. But God always speaks to me. These people are your brothers and sisters. You've got it. These people, look around, are your brothers and sisters. I am a Christian first. I am an Australian second. I am a Christian first. I am an African second. I am a Christian first. I didn't know you were Malaysian. I'm a Christian first. I am a... You get the point. Is this something I don't know? Okay, you're still listening. Is this okay? I'm a Christian first. My work is second. Come on. I'm a Christian first, and my identity is in Christ first. Not my work, not my status, not my cool clothes, not my car, not where I live. I am a Christian first. It's quite remarkable what Jesus has done, right? See, here's the truth. I have a closer connection to my brothers and sister in Africa who generally, not all of them, but generally are far less educated. That have actually no idea how we live. But I have a closer connection to them. And when I go back, it's like hugs all round. Then I do my white friends that I went to school with in university and I still see occasionally. Why is that? Because I am a Christian first. And Paul says, because you are now a new kind of human being, I can finally do something that has never been done before. And that is to get over this horrible division that keeps us from living in peace. How? The gospel alters our heart. In Acts 10, God showed Peter a vivid picture of what this meant by using what Peter thought was unclean. And so Peter had this dream. And he saw this amazing big lizard in his dream. And he saw a turkey, a rabbit, a crocodile, a big fat pig. And Jesus in a dream said, "Take it and eat it." And Peter goes, "I can't eat that, I'm a Jew." Through the blood of Jesus Christ, everything is clean. Clean. Cleansed. If you want to eat a pig, you eat a pig. If you don't want to eat a pig, don't eat a pig. If you want to be a vegetarian, be a vegetarian. If you want to be a vegan, be a vegan. It doesn't matter, because Christ is our identity. Nothing else is really of a concern. So if you're out in the bush and you're with your Aboriginal friends and you want to eat a lizard, go ahead, eat a lizard. What God created is pure in His sight. It's for the benefit. Because He is over all things. God does not show favoritism. Racism is a terrible thing. The world's solution is to educate us so that we will change. But we will not change by being educated. You can't change simply because you know something new. You change because you have a new heart on the subject. And you get a new heart because you have a transformation through the life of Jesus Christ in your life. The book of Genesis says that we are all created to serve God. The issue is, we have turned it around because we all want to be proud and independent people. We all know we should be serving God, but we don't. And when we don't, there are deep insecurities in us. But often, instead of turning to God, and because we desire to do things our way, in our terms, we moralize why we have been made right and made the right decision. Even though actually God is not glorified when we make the decisions without Him. No one gets glorified but us. The gospel changes our heart and develops our identity in God. There are two things which restructure our identity to make us a new kind of human being. Ephesians 2, 16 and 17. "And that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near." So first, the gospel destroys comparison. The pecking order. Stop pecking! The walls come down. The walls come down. Peace for those far and peace for those near. Whether a Jew or a Gentile, whether a religious person or a non-religious person, both need to be reconciled. Until we receive the gospel fully, we will divide people. There's no pecking order in the kingdom of God. The gospel humbles us. Second, the gospel reshuffles the layers in our identity. Happy that we are Australian. Happy that we're living in Australia. Happy that we're African by culture. Happy that we're Filipino by culture. Happy that we're English. Happy that we're Samoan. Whatever culture you are, we're grateful. And you should be grateful of your upbringing. We are all proud of who we are. All proud of being what we are, whether it's professionally, a trade, a uni, a muso, whatever it is you do, stay home, mum, be proud of who you are. But when you meet the gospel head on, when you recognize Jesus and what he has done fully, the love that he has for you, you are no longer affirmed by your work or the suburb you live in or the clothes you wear or the car you drive or the education you have, even by your family of origin. You are affirmed in Christ. We can say we are a Christian, but has the gospel actually changed our heart? Each person who shares in the new humanity must share with others who belong to the new breed. I'm grateful to be a new person, and I may muck this up from time to time, but I'm learning through Christ to bring the wall down. Romans 2:14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in a manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? God placed Jesus in the place of sin so that we would sin no more. So that we could compare no more. So that we would judge no more. So that we get over ourselves and hand our lives over to him. In him, our faith grows to maturity. Paul is saying to Peter, you may be teaching one thing, even believing one thing, but you actually are living a hypocritical life. Our behavior always determines our values. Live as a new kind of human being. Stand to your feet with me, if you will, please. Live as a new kind of human being. Paul has given us such a concrete example through these verses of what it is to live without division, of what it is to live in the church with no divisions, with no prejudice. Will you allow the gospel to change your heart? Why don't you put your hands up for a moment? And I know that we're here and we're from very different cultures, all of us. And some of us have seen some atrocities. And this is a difficult thing. But in Christ, we are one. In Christ, we are. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you that we can have peace in your name and through your name. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the answer. We thank you, God, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. That you took away every division. That you took away everything that we think that we are better than someone else. You proved it on the cross. Even as God, that you would suffer and die so that, Lord, we can have a new way of living, a way of living not just for now that brings peace now, but it is a future that we look forward to, and that future is through the church. It's through the church. And the people of God said, amen. We thank you, Lord. Come on, let's give him some praise this morning. We thank you, Lord.